the Jewish age was passing away, a worldwide church of believers was coming. And so, as we studied the last 2 weeks, the Jewish temple needed to be destroyed. We have no temple. Jesus Christ is our temple. We worship him by the Spirit in every place. Not just Jerusalem, but in Judea, in Samaria, to the ends of the earth. This was then a time of great change for the believers. Hard time to live in, times of change. And Jesus told them how to be ready. But now was the time for Jesus himself to be destroyed. The temple of his body to be destroyed on the cross. His soul to suffer for our sins. And for him then to rise again the third day. For him to raise up the great spiritual temple of the church. Believers, those who truly love him. A glorious, indestructible body. Both in his glorified body and in the church. So that's where Mark is now going. Moving on from that old temple to this new temple. But for the new temple to be raised up, the temple of his body must first be destroyed. And that's where we go to. Now look at verses 1 and 2, please, and you'll see what time it was. Mark says it was the Passover and the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. That's really all one feast. And it remembers the time that Israel came out of Egypt. Israel came out of slavery in Egypt. They came out of their suffering and they became a new nation, a new people to serve and please their Lord. At that time, God came and judged the whole land of Egypt. God came and judged them for their sin. But with Israel, he passed over them. That's why it's called Passover. You see, Israel was guilty also. And if God comes to judge, can we escape? If God comes to judge you, can you escape? But they did escape because in every house of Israel, a lamb was slain. A lamb was sacrificed, the Passover lamb. Its blood was painted on the doorpost. The angel of death came to each house. He saw the blood. He passed over and they were delivered. And this is what Israel then remembered every year. That was their birthday. We remember our birthdays. That was their birthday as a nation. God delivered them out of Egypt. And every year then they had this festival. Now, the real message in verses 1 and 2 is that the real Passover lamb is now being prepared. Yeah, there's that old Jewish feast. And the lamb then would have been taken into each house so they could slay it and that they could remember. But the real message is that the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, Jesus Christ, is now about to be prepared. Well, he's now being prepared and he's now about to be offered as the true Passover sacrifice. So that the true people of God can be delivered out of slavery to sin and Satan. We can become a new people and praise and worship God forever. That's what's happening. You see, the leaders of Israel, verse 1, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, they're looking for some way to arrest Jesus. They don't really have the courage that what they're doing is right. And so they try to do it secretly. They try to do it in a way that people won't know what's happening. The people will be deceived. But that's what they're doing. Jesus is about to die for the sins of his people. The true gospel Passover. So, let's come to verses 3, 4 and 5. Jesus at this time, well, he's been teaching in the temple, as you know. But he's been staying at Bethany, around 2 miles outside of Jerusalem. Been coming in and out of Jerusalem each day from this village of Bethany. And he's eating at the house of a man called Simon the leper, verse 3. So surely he was a healed leper. Mary and Martha were in the village of Bethany too. This might have been having Mary and Martha there also. It's not quite certain. You can read in John chapter 12 and might be the same time, it might not. Anyway, surely Simon was a healed leper and he'd invited Jesus to his house for a meal. And a woman comes in, verse 3. Oh, and she's brought with her, it says, an alabaster jar. It's just a kind of jar. Very expensive perfume made of pure nard. That's kind of plant. And you can see just how expensive it was in verse 5. A year's wages. I don't know your burial customs. This perfume was especially appropriate for burying and preparing a body. They have a very precious possession. Perhaps in your house you have a very precious possession. It's kept very safe. And it'll only be brought out on some very special day. Perhaps if your eldest son gets married or somebody graduates. Or perhaps if there's a death in the family. But it's kept there. Something very special. And what did she do with it? Verse 3. She broke it open. She poured it all on the head of Jesus. She anointed Jesus' head. All the perfume would have run down and covered probably every part of his body. What do you think of that? This very special treasured possession, more than a year's wages, and she pours all of it out on Jesus. You can see in verses 4 and 5 what they thought of that, the people who were there. We read Matthew earlier, and it was some of the disciples who were saying this. If it's the same as in John 12, then Judas was leading the way. And they said, why this waste of perfume? Oh, you could have done so much good with that. So many poor in the land of Israel. How much they could have been helped. You could have lifted so many out. Think a year's wages, how much good you could be doing. They didn't just say it to each other. Verse 5, they rebuked her. They didn't just rebuke her. They rebuked her harshly. What an outrageous waste. All the good that could have been done, it's just poured out now and gone. Waste is a sin, isn't it? God gives us, he promises to give us, what we need. He doesn't promise to give us what we can waste. And much poverty, we know, is from waste, isn't it? Wasted opportunities. Wasted openings. Wasted time. As well as wasted money and corruption. It's a sin. So what do you think about that? What would you say if you had been there? Verse 6. Jesus said, leave her alone. Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. And it's very precious that Jesus spoke. Because who was this woman? It wasn't her house. And we have no reason to believe she was important. Probably they wouldn't dare to rebuke her if she was important. Now, rebuke her harshly in somebody else's house. Do you often rebuke somebody harshly when you're a guest? So probably she was a nobody. And they felt free to speak to her that way. But Jesus spoke up for her. He wouldn't let it just go. He didn't just say, well, let me be silent. I'll comfort her afterwards. But he actually openly rebuked them and honoured her. And that's wonderful. Because it doesn't matter who you are. If you do what's right, you don't need to be afraid. Jesus will take care of you. And even if it's on the very last day, well, that's the most important day of all. Jesus will honour you. Jesus will honour the people who the world thinks nothing of. Now the key to this is when he says, She has done a beautiful thing to me, says Jesus. The key to this is Jesus himself. Now, if somebody who's not well off comes and gives all they have to a man who's preaching, and the man says, well, I'm worth it. Yeah. Don't listen to that preacher again. Now, if the preacher says, yes, give what you've got to me. It's beautiful when you give to me. No. Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus, the one who's about to give his life for our sins. Jesus, who's going to the cross. Now, if anybody else said these words, you'd say, that man's proud. That man thinks too much of himself. That man should step down and learn some humility. But because Jesus is the one who came from heaven, and because he's worth everything, it was right to honour him with all that she could. Now Jesus says she's done what she could. And all that we can give to Jesus, he's worth it and more. Do you agree? What is Jesus worth to you? Actually, is there a point where you'll say, that's enough. I've given enough to Jesus now. I've gone far enough, and if I go any further, it'll be a bit too much. You know, he'll understand. Now, if you give everything for Jesus, then it won't be enough, and it's worth giving it all for him. It was especially appropriate, verse 8, because Jesus was about to die. He was about to be buried. As a symbol, this was a very fitting action. So his body was anointed with perfume to preserve it. Of course, preserve it just those 3 days whilst he was in the tomb. I don't think the woman knew that Jesus was about to be buried in a couple of days. Well, perhaps she had heard some of the teaching. It doesn't have to mean that. But certainly it means it was so appropriate, given where he was going. And if all the disciples really had understood, they'd want to do more and more for him. And if we really do understand the death of Jesus at Calvary, we'll want to do more and more for him. Where does the death of Jesus sit in your thinking? Where does the death of the Son of God for your sins have its place in your life? Is it just sat on some small shelf away in your home? You bring it out sometimes, and you put it away when you're finished with it. Or does it have your whole heart, mind, soul, and strength? Is the gift of your Saviour to you everything to you? Well, what an honour Jesus gave this woman. Verse 9. Wherever the good news is preached, through all the nations, Jesus said, you'll hear about this woman. And that's what we're doing today, isn't it? Jesus is the Son of God. Everything he said does come true. And here it is, 2,000 years later nearly, far away, we hear about this woman. And those who rebuked her look very bad now. But she is really honoured and will continue to be honoured until the end of time. Now, what people will call bad, God will often call good. What people will say is wasted, God will remember. Now be prepared for people to say you've gone too far in serving Jesus. Be prepared for people to say that you're even maybe going a bit mad, you're even losing your mind. Be prepared, even if those who are very close, even if those who seem high up, Matthew tells us, even those the disciples, even those whom Jesus had chosen to be apostles, rebuked the woman publicly. That must have been painful. But be prepared and be sure that Jesus will honour you. Live in the truth, speak the truth, obey the truth, follow the truth, and do more for Jesus. Does someone think you've gone too far? You haven't. Go further. You won't regret it. And sadly, it's true that there's not many who really take this to heart. And sadly, it's true that many Christians, they don't fulfill the potential God has given them. That if we believed more, loved more, gave more, prayed more, served more, we could go so much further. And if we just receive the teaching and obey it with God's help, we can. So few reach their potential because they're held back by fears and by other people. Decide that you won't be one of those. Serve God with all that you have. Do you have some opportunity that you know of? Is there somewhere in your school, with your friends, your neighbourhood, is there somewhere you can do something for Jesus to spread his word? And you're thinking about it. Well, do it. Go for it. Now let's look at verses 10 and 11. Here is the response of Judas. Judas Iscariot, one of the 12. What should he have said? He should have repented, really, shouldn't he? He should have said, yeah, Jesus is right and I was wrong. Because he is the Son of God. And soon he won't be with us. Of course, what Jesus said about serving the poor, he encourages us to serve the poor. He said, they're always with you. Serve them whenever you desire. But to Judas, what Jesus had said was mad. It's not come from the real world. Judas knows the price of everything, you see. In England, we say, somebody knows the price of everything, but the value of nothing. Do you understand that saying? You know exactly how many shillings something is worth. But really, you don't know the true value of it. And Judas knew what this perfume cost. But he didn't know what Jesus was worth. Now we're told in John chapter 12, Judas was the one who kept the money bag. See, Jesus himself did not keep the money bag, though he was the leader. That would have been a failure of integrity. If you see Paul in the Gospels, Paul in the Acts and in the letters, he made sure that when he was handling money, that actually he wasn't handling money, that it was some others who were with him in the work who were handling it. And the money bag then was not with Jesus as the leader, but it was with Judas Iscariot. And they received whatever gifts there were for the work of ministry, and so that they could go on eating and sleeping as they went about in the work. Somebody had to keep it. Judas was the one who kept it. But John tells us that Judas was a thief. And Judas liked to profit himself from what was in the money bag. That Judas actually was greedy. Amazing, isn't it, that Jesus gave Judas the money bag? Because Jesus knew all things. It's amazing that Jesus didn't say, actually, Judas has a weakness here. Let's give it to Peter or Andrew or Matthew or someone else. I think there's a spiritual law in here. God allows us to be tested at our weak points. God allows us to be tested where our secret faults lie, so that they come out if we don't deal with them. If you don't put your secret faults to death, then they'll be seen and they'll be known eventually. And Judas had a problem with money. And isn't it sad that Judas has had so many who followed him in the church who have a problem with power and control and money and being the big man, being the big leader. Isn't it sad? But we shouldn't be surprised. Because Jesus, he even chose Judas knowing this would happen. And so we can't be surprised if it keeps happening. And we can't be discouraged. Because Jesus wasn't discouraged. And what was happening when Judas went out to betray him? The plan of God for the salvation of all nations. The plan of God for our salvation. And sometimes we say, why did God let this happen? And we don't know the answer in many ways. But we know the big answer. God is carrying out his purposes. God is achieving what God is going to achieve until the day when Jesus is revealed in glory and all his people are gathered together with him. I've got to ask you, what's your secret sin? What's the thing in your heart that you find so difficult to let go? What's the thing you hold on to and you know you shouldn't? Because that thing ruined Judas. And don't think that just because you're in the church, or even one of the apostles, that you'll escape. There'll be many Judases since. Whatever you want more than Jesus, Satan will be happy to give it to you. You see, it was for money, because we can see that in verse 11. When Judas went to the chief priests, they were delighted. They promised to give him money, just to make really sure that Judas won't change his mind. Money. Now, he won't back down with that promise. What is there in your life that you'll love more than Jesus? Because if you don't repent, it'll ruin you. And it'll ruin whatever work you're doing. What has your heart? The woman gave everything for Jesus. Even something so costly. Judas, though, would get rid of Jesus to get his secret desire. So, what do you think of that, then? What do you think of God's word today? The Passover lamb being prepared for our sins. But the way it happened was through the terrible sin of Judas. So there was this poor woman, this nobody, and Jesus so greatly honoured her. Do you think the woman went too far? Are you with Judas, really? No, be like the woman. Give everything and more of yourself in serving Jesus. And if you've never given your heart to him, give it today. Whatever you've loved instead of Jesus, get rid of it. It's just part of this present world. This present world will soon be burnt up and gone. But those who love Jesus will continue forever with him in glory. Give your all to Jesus. If others rebuke you, wait for Jesus to speak for you. That's the way. Go in it.